You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My last guests today are here to give us an update on Juno's cold weather situation. Welcome, Maria Levischuk, the director of the Glory Hall. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and Dave Ringel from St. Vincent de Paul. Hello, Dave.
Thank you, Shelley. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to be talking with you both as well. I just wanted to start this segment off with a quick weather update. The low temperature for tonight is going to be about 9 degrees with a high tomorrow of just 19. And that's actually a little warmer than what it's been this week when we saw the temperature drop to around zero. But there's also a high wind warning in effect tonight as well. So it's really unimaginable to be out in this with no adequate clothing, no heated shelter. Maria, let's start with you. What are all the options right now for people who need help?
And so people can come to the Filipino Hall during the day. The Glory Hall is renting the Filipino Hall because it is a bigger space than our existing building. And then our shelter is open at night with limited capacity. We can only serve 16 people. And then, of course, the warming shelter operated by the St. Vincent de Paul Society is open every night in their space. So between this two facilities, as well as the aware shelter, which supports victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, folks do have options.
And do you think those resources are adequate enough to accommodate everyone who is kind of sleeping rough right now?
I think so. We at the Glory Hall, you know, would definitely be willing to expand our capacity if people were to come in. And I'm sure the warming shelter would accommodate more people as well if needed. Nobody was turned away yesterday.
That's Maria, great news. Go ahead, Dave.
We have room for up to 70. We're averaging about 50 right now, and we've got a few broken cots, but we have expanded the capacity, and it's a lot of beds. I don't know if we could truly fit 70 because it's, while there's a gym there, we're sleeping over 50 people in a large room, but we're doing our best to meet the needs of everybody who comes to the door and needs services.
And Dave, where's your warming shelter located, and how can folks get there?
It's at the Old Armory, or other people know it as the Jack. It's right across from Centennial Hall. There's a parking lot there. Do not park against the building, preferably. But people can come in. We check people in one at a time, checking for symptoms, because we've been successful in keeping COVID out of the shelters for most of the last 11 months. Mm-hmm. And you come in, there'll be a cot for you. There'll be coffee, hot drink. If you need a little bit of hot soup, we might have that. But it's right now we're looking at protecting people in life-threatening situations, and that means we've got to serve the people who need it.
So, Dave, is that warming shelter also open during the day?
We do not open during the day. We encourage everybody to go to the Filipino Hall and get the day services there. We're designed basically with a lot of cots spread 6 feet apart with not a lot of room otherwise. So it's much more comfortable and much more appropriate services during the day at the Filipino Hall.
And I guess I should just mention just a huge, huge, huge thank you to the Filipino community for making the Filipino Hall available to us. I cannot imagine in this temperature where we would be without them allowing us to rent from them until the new Glory Hall facility is completed. So just, if you see a member of the Filipino community, please thank them for letting those experiencing homelessness have a safe place to be during the day in the super, super cold times.
That's very generous of them. And I know that they've offered you their space for a good part of this year, which is, it's a lot for them because they're not able to use it right now. I just wanted to ask with David mentioned some safety measures in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And there's also a number of other things too. You know, folks coming into the shelter will have all kinds of various needs, and some of them are struggling with other things. Are you able to accommodate them all and keep everyone safe and keep everyone distanced and keep everyone in masks? Dave, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm sort of amazed at how people have gotten used to the masks, and our guests basically go to their cots with their masks on. They can take them off at the cot, but that's it. And we've taken to serving them drinks and food at their cots rather than having them walk around, which is a change because they're not used to being served. And it has worked for the most part. I won't say we're far from perfect, but we're doing our best to keep everybody safe. And it's representative of the entire population. There are some people who are religious about wearing their masks, and there are others who grudgingly do it. But I don't think that's that different than going to the store or most groups of people I've talked to about mask wearing in this community.
Maria, what would you add to that?
I really, you know, could not have said it better than Dave, definitely dittoing Dave there. I think, you know, another one of the exciting things that's happening right now through our partnerships with the city, Search, Jemmy Health and Wellness, we are seeing folks getting the COVID vaccines. And I feel like that is definitely making us all breathe a little easier. No pun intended there.
Another help, probably the most difficult people for the warming shelter to deal with are those that are severely inebriated, and the sobering center run by Capital City Fire and Rescue moved from St. Vincent de Paul down to Centennial Hall. And it's been a great asset that they've been that flexible, and they will house those people too inebriated to be in a normal shelter. And it's a good example of cooperation.
And yeah. I think another thing that's really comforting for, you know, for us, I think Dave would agree, is just the ease of access to testing. And so, you know, there have been testings conducted by the city and the mobile medicine units at the Glory Hole, at Housing First, at the Warming Shelter, at Aware. And so I feel like we have a pretty good picture of what's happening and good protocols in place. So just super grateful for all of the collaboration.
Well, I have to say that hearing this from both of you, it sounds like it's mostly good news, and that that these folks are pretty well taken care of, and they are getting some of their immediate needs met, and that no one is out in the cold. So that's really great to hear. So looking ahead beyond these cold temperatures and even beyond COVID, what are some other resources, some safety nets that we're hoping to have in place? Looking ahead to this next year. Go ahead, Maria.
Oh, thank you, Shelley. So I just, you know, I don't want to totally like sugarcoat this. I mean, there are definitely a lot of folks who are, you know, living in their cars. You know, a lot of folks due to, you know, various combinations of very bad circumstances, trauma, and then related symptoms are not able to access our services. I really didn't mean to, you know, make it sound like it's all totally great. We are really grateful, though, you know, for the fact that the rental assistance has been extended, you know, and is expanding. And so, you know, hopefully we're not going to see an influx of folks who are experiencing homelessness. But there are definitely, you know, folks who I don't think we are reaching. The shelters are currently working with the city and other organizations and organizing an outreach program to folks who are not accessing services. So I think that will be an improvement to the system, especially once the Glory Hole moves out of downtown and into the valley to be neighbors of Dave over there.
And Dave, we just
can't see Dave's face, but he's really excited.
Dave, we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, our shelter has just reached an agreement with the city to stay open until June 30th. And the real reason for that is July 1st is when the new Glory Hall is scheduled to open. And we're looking at setting up a transition so that hopefully by that time, as we're working through the vaccine and more people have that vaccine, we can lighten pressures. But we're also working closely on a transition where we return to only being needing emergency shelter in the winter. But that depends on a lot of cooperation, finding housing for as many people as we can who can get into housing, and using as many resources as we can, both within our organizations and within the community to do that.
Well, thank you both so much for being here today and sharing all of that wonderful information. I think it's really important to stay up to date with what's going on with all of our community members and how folks are getting through COVID and also getting through this cold snap. So thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yeah, talk to you next time.